Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1993 with a release date of Friday, January 8th, 2016 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Amateur radio equipment maker Tentek gets yet another new owner. The Polish DXer who will work North Korea this year has delayed his plans. The estate of a British silent key gives a gift to a local hospice. And the year-long National Parks on the Air event is off and running. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report 1993, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Topeka, Kansas, here's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
We begin this week's newscast with word of the latest sale of beleaguered amateur radio equipment maker Tentek. The assets of the company, founded in 1968, have been sold to Ohio-based Dishtronics, according to recent news reports. Although final details have yet to be disclosed, and neither company has formally announced the purchase, Dishtronics owner Stephen M. Bishop, N8WFF, acknowledged the deal on the ARRL website. Bishop tells the ARRL that his vision for the business is, quote, strictly long-term, end quote. And he reaffirmed his 17-year-old company's commitment to its continued financial stability despite what he called, quote, some tough decisions, end quote. Toward that end, Dishtronics has contracted with former Tentek engineering manager John Henry, KI4JPL, and initiated new service policies and related pricing. Bishop said Tentek's service department had been operating at a loss. Tentek's asset sale is the latest for the beleaguered company, which began as the manufacturer of transceivers for QRP users. Last April, RKR Designs of Colorado announced it had purchased Tentek's assets, along with those of Alpha Amplifiers, from RF Concepts. The two lines had been merged less than a year earlier in yet another asset sale. Dishtronics, which is committed to offering high-power, solid-state amplifiers and accessories to the amateur market in 2001, now has a variety of products in development and plans to introduce a new legal-limit solid-state amplifier in May at the Dayton Hamvention. Polish DXer Dom 3Z9DX is back in the news with his North Korea D-Expedition. But this time, he's in the spotlight for being off the air. Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has more.
The well-publicized expedition of Polish amateur Dom 3Z9DX is still on, but the amateur world is going to have to wait a little bit longer for it to happen. Dom rocked the airwaves in late December with an unannounced on-air demonstration from North Korea, which was a big success, despite problematic solar conditions. Even with little fanfare announcing his presence, he managed to make almost 800 contacts, most of them in Asia. When he departed North Korea to celebrate the holidays back home in Poland, he announced a hopeful return in February to get back on the air. His plans have since changed. He recently told DX World that he will now wait until late summer before launching his long-awaited D-Expedition as P5. His goal, he says, is to find a location that will provide quieter operating conditions. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Meanwhile, the ARRL's National Parks on the Air event has kicked off as of 0000 hours UTC New Year's Day, January 1st. And Newsline's Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, was ready. Listen.
W3 Hotel Alpha Charlie calls 1640 meters. Base of the Washington Monument National Parks on the Air.
Whiskey 3, Hotel Alpha Charlie from Alpha Echo 5, Delta Whiskey.
Alpha 5, Delta Whiskey. Don, Whiskey 3, Hotel Alpha Charlie, W3HAC, 5 and 9, 59, here at the Washington Monument on the National Mall.
Roger, roger. You're about 5-3 to 5-5 down here in South Mississippi from Alpha Echo 5, Delta Whiskey.
Roger, Alpha Echo 5, Delta Whiskey. Roger, Don. Well, you're our first HF contact. You are the first HF contact for this beautiful, beautiful signal up here at the base of the Washington Monument. Go ahead, Don.
All right, awesome. Well, glad to be the first HF contact for the National Park on the Air. From Alpha Echo 5, Delta Whiskey, South Mississippi, 7-3.
Okay, 73 Don, and thank you. This is Whiskey 3 Hotel Alpha Charlie. National Parks on the air. Calling about.
That's Pat, N-0-O-O at the mic for the W3HAC station set up at the base of the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. Pat and Don made that contact just 3 minutes into the event, making them two of the first to make NPOTA contacts. At press time, we haven't heard how many contacts W3HAC managed to log, but the year-long event celebrating the National Park System's centennial is just getting started, so there's plenty of time to join the fun. You can be an activator or a chaser, or both. Everything you need to know can be found at the National Parks On the Air page at ARRL.org/NPOTA or the Facebook page. Search for ARRL National Parks On the Air. If you've been using NOAA Weather Radio to monitor the changing forecast, get ready for a new voice to deliver the meteorological message to you. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bobby Best, WX4ALA, has that story.
What does the weather sound like? Starting January 11th, whether the outlook is sunny or stormy, the forecast is going to sound a whole lot different. NOAA Weather Radio was about to deploy its first upgrade in 15 years of the system that produces its broadcast programs. And that upgrade will change the voice listeners hear delivering observations, warnings, watches, and forecasts. A number of Weather Service offices, including the ones in Greenville, Spartanburg, South Carolina, will be involved in an operational test and evaluation period following the launch this month. NOAA hopes the new voice, generated by a new computer system, weathers the flood of feedback it expects during this period, which is likely to last several months. If all goes well, the new system will have a nationwide rollout later in the year on all transmitters. Comments can be sent to gsp.webmaster@noaa.gov.
That's Amateur Radio Newsline's Bobby Best, WX4ALA. Don Siebert, N2MOO, Vice President of the Sierra Nevada Amateur Radio Society, was injured in a motor vehicle crash on New Year's Day, and latest reports at press time listed him in critical condition in the intensive care unit of Renown Hospital in Reno. Reports on the Nevada Amateur Radio Newswire website indicate that Siebert's condition was being assessed by doctors following surgery. The report said the accident occurred after a woman turned into the path of his vehicle after failing to heed a traffic signal. Siebert had begun his third consecutive term as club vice president on the day the accident happened. Siebert is considered one of the principal architects creating the DMR system for the Sierra Nevada Club. According to the Sierra Nevada website, the former truck driver retired from his profession after being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. The website said that a GoFundMe account has been set up to defray his medical expenses following the accident. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, such as the Mingus Mountain Repeater Group, K7MRG, in Arizona, on Tuesday evenings. Big changes in leadership are coming for the ARRL and the Radio Society of Great Britain. The ARRL Board of Directors expects to elect a new president and a number of other new officers at its annual meeting on Friday, January 15th and Saturday, January 16th in Windsor, Connecticut. They will choose a successor to ARRL President Kay Craigie, N3KN, who is stepping down after 3 2-year terms. ARRL Chief Executive Officer David Sumner, K1ZZ, and ARRL Chief Operating Officer Harold Kramer, WJ1B, who are both retiring, will also be attending this meeting as their last with the ARRL. Graham Coomber, G0NBI, the General Manager of the Radio Society of Great Britain, announced his retirement on January 4th, prompting a search for his successor. He has been General Manager since 2012. If one of your contacts this year happens to be a ham from Cornwall in the UK, don't be surprised if they identify with a call sign with a bit of a different twist. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, explains.
The year ahead holds special significance and identity for radio amateurs in Cornwall, who are starting 2016 with the ability to add a K to their call signs for the course of the year. Approved by Ofcom late last year, this special K in a real sense acknowledges the national minority status granted to the Cornish people 2 years ago. The Poldhu Amateur Radio Club successfully lobbied for the process known as Notice of Variation, or NOV, under which amateurs can seek to modify their call signs. The designation, which is optional, is designed to be available to all of Cornwall's amateurs, regardless of club affiliation. Call signs at the intermediate level replace the E with a D. Applications could be made throughout the year, but all designations will expire on the 31st of December 2016. Advocates of the variation are hoping this recognition via the call sign will boost on-air activity among hams in Cornwall, and a number of clubs are establishing a Curno Award recognising such activity. Details are available on the club website www.gb2gm.org. Meanwhile, amateurs await the opportunity to participate in a special event for St. Piran, the 5th century Cornish abbot who became the patron saint of Cornwall. That event will take place on St. Piran's Day, the 5th of March 2016. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci for NJH in Nottingham in the UK.
The legacy of Michael Hall, 2E0MBJ, now a silent key, will no doubt provide care and comfort to many. His widow, with the help of the Banbury Amateur Radio Society, donated the proceeds of £380 from the sale of his shack to Catherine House Hospice, just outside Banbury in the UK. The club's chairman, John Manley, M1CNJ, tells the Banbury Guardian newspaper, quote, "As always, it is difficult for close family members to know how to deal with technical possessions in these situations. It was on such an occasion that the Banbury Radio Society was contacted by Mrs. Hall for advice." End quote. Michael Hall had been an active member of the Banbury Club, where he had taken his foundation course and gotten his license. A veteran radio operator who was part of the first crew of Scottish amateurs to complete a moon bounce in 1965 became a silent key in late December. In 1965, working out of a remote site in the east nook of Fife at a former RAF beacon station, Ken Street, GM3ENJ, had been part of a group from the Dunfermline Amateur Radio Society that contacted Arecibo in Puerto Rico via the moon, transmitting on CW on 70 centimeters. The group used the call sign GM3FYB, and the transmission was recorded on site where it had been received in Puerto Rico. Street, who lived in Dunfermline, was still an active amateur at the time of his death and worked sideband mainly on 2 meters. He was 91. Another British radio group, the Phoenix Amateur Radio Club, seems to have anniversaries down to a science. In fact, the anniversaries themselves are all about science. The club is devoting 2016 to an array of special events celebrating notable British scientists throughout history. More than 40 British scientists will be honored throughout the year, beginning on Friday, January 8th, marking the birthday of Stephen Hawking, and ending on December 25th with Sir Isaac Newton. According to the 17th century Julian calendar in effect when he was born, Newton would have been born on Christmas, although the physicist's birth is observed in modern times on January 4th. All clubs in the UK are invited to participate, and the Phoenix Club members are hoping there will be many with a local connection to some of the scientists. The special events, by the way, will also celebrate many of the notable ham radio contacts that are expected, and offer bronze, silver, and gold awards for qualifying amateurs. When does the roar of a lion sound a lot like a friendly QSO? Only during a special event called Hunting Lions in the Air. The amateur event is designed to connect Lions Club International members with other members around the world who also have a radio license. This year it kicks off Saturday, January 9th and continues through Wednesday, January 13th. The 13th is a significant date since it marks the birth date in 1879 of Arizona native Melvin Jones. Jones, who later became a Chicago businessman, founded the service organization known as Lions Club International in 1917. Lions Clubs support medical research, disaster assistance, services for the disabled, and other community causes. Hams and Lion Club members are being encouraged to contact their local Lions Club to encourage participation in the on-air event. In the world of DX, Francis F6BLP is active through January 31st as 6W7SK from Sally Portugal in Senegal. He is working holiday style, operating mainly CW with some SSB and RTTY on 160 through 6 meters. Look for his low band activity during his local sunrise and sunset. Send QSLs via F6BLP direct or by the Bureau. Marcelo, EA1HFI, is active through March 4th from Ziguincor in Senegal, with an emphasis on SSB and the digital modes. His activity is being done QRP during his free time and weekends. QSL via his home call sign, direct or by the Bureau. Follow him on Facebook as Marcelo HFI and Twitter as at EA1HFI. Look for Polish Special Event Station 3Z6DOBRZEN through January 31st. The station will be operated by the members of the Pistowski Shortwave Radio Club, SP6PAZ, and others. They are celebrating the 5th anniversary of shortwave radio activities as part of the Dobrzyn Wielki District Cultural Center. Find the station on HF and VHF bands using CW, SSB, and digital modes. Send QSLs via SP6PAZ only by the PZK Bureau or direct. Radio amateurs like Norway's Oli 4, LA6EIA, are no doubt accustomed to scoring a big DX every now and again on the HF bands. But when the 58-year-old dairy farmer tuned in late last year on the AM band for a program called The Morning Edition with Sheila Coles, he ended up turning program host Sheila Coles into an unwitting DXer herself. He was listening to a popular CBC Saskatchewan program being broadcast for a Canadian audience. It's not that good radio listening is hard to come by in Norway, of course, but the radio-obsessed Four and his friends decided they'd try and take advantage of some prime conditions, a dark, remote location in the north of Norway, and some long-range receiving antennas just for fun. They not only heard the Canadian program, Four even captured it on an MP3 file and sent the recording to the CBC to prove what his not-so-local ears had heard. The Canadian broadcasters, of course, gave Four's recording a great reception. And now CBC Radio's Sheila Coles, who landed an enviable DX without even trying, thanks to Oli 4, has got herself a new fan. He's somewhere out there on his farm in Norway, tuning up his receiver and milking his cows. With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur Radio Victoria, the ARRL, the Banbury Guardian, the CBC, CQ Magazine, DX.net, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Nevada Amateur Radio Newswire, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Phoenix Amateur Radio Club, Paldew Amateur Radio Club, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Twit TV, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, in Topeka, Kansas, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016, all rights reserved.